Good morning. Before we get started, I have an important question for you. And there is a right answer to this. It might feel like an opinion kind of question, but I think the answer to this is important, maybe. There's two bad things that could happen to you, and I want you to decide which one that you think would be worse, okay? So two really bad things that could happen are you could lose your phone, maybe you have a really nice phone, or you could lose your wallet, okay? So raise your hand if you think that it would be worse to lose your phone. Anybody? Couple people? That's the wrong answer, actually, I think. No, it might be different for different people, but how many people think it would be worse to lose your wallet? Almost everybody, maybe. It might have a lot of money in it, your credit cards, debit cards, PAN card, auto card, food ration, drivers, everything. Your whole life is probably in your wallet. It kind of is in mine. So it would be a disaster to lose it. Take a lot of work to get all those things back, and some of those things you might never be able to get back. But I want you to pretend this morning that you lost your wallet or your phone, if that's what you chose. And then you came to church this morning and you were looking all around, and then you looked and you noticed that it was right in front of you on the ground. You would be pretty excited, okay? So now I want you to look at the person next to you, just actually look at them and say, "I found it. I found it," okay? That's the title of the message today. I'm going to try to see if it'll work for me to control the slides, but I'm not sure how good my technology is. We'll try. Let me pray for us, and then we will dig in to the Word. Dear God, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you give us the opportunity to know you and have relationship with you. I pray that you would help us to know you more, and I pray that today would be an awesome day for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I found it. And the "it" that we're talking about today is the Word of God, the Bible, and not just finding the Word of God, but having it influence your life. So we are, I don't think it's going to work. So can you flip to the next one? These are the core values or core practices, because you don't really value something unless you practice it. These are the core values of DBF Dwarka as a church. So we're going through a series, talking through all these things. And last week, Pastor talked about disciple-making community. And today I'm going to be sharing about Bible-centered community. And for now, you don't have to worry about what Bible-centered community is. For the first part, we're just going to be talking about the Bible, so you can focus on the first word and what the Bible is and why it's important in our lives. And then towards the end, we'll look at what being a Bible-centered community is. Okay? So you can turn to the next. And then if you have a Bible, you can turn to 2 Timothy towards the end of the Bible. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And I'm going to start in the middle of verse 15. So it says, "You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So that is usually the central verse when anyone's talking about the Word of God or why it's important. And if we have time at the end, we will come back and look at a few more verses in this chapter. I don't think we're going to have time as I was practicing. So just to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, especially in verse 15, where it says the scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. That's something that's really important, knowing Jesus so that we can be saved from our sins and have eternal life. But it's a lot more than just believing in Jesus one time. The Bible has a lot to help us with in our life, okay? And if you want to go to the next slide, we're going to look at a Bible story of a king of Israel that's going to teach us a little bit about the importance of the Word of God. So now, if you can turn back in your Bible to 2 Chronicles, might not be a book that you turn to very often. It's about near the beginning, about a third of the way in, or if you're on a Bible app, you can search for it. It's right after 1 Chronicles and right before Ezra. So, we are looking at the story of King Manasseh, and you may or may not have heard this story before, but King Manasseh was a crazy person, and I'm just going to read the first 10 verses, and then we will talk about him a little bit. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had demolished. He also erected altars to the Baals and made Asher poles. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshipped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his sons in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. He took the carved image he had made and put it in God's temple, of which God had said to David and to his son Solomon, "In this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen, out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will not again make the feet of the Israelites leave the land I assigned to your forefathers, if only they will be careful to do everything I commanded them concerning all the laws, decrees, and ordinances given through Moses." But Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. The Lord spoke to his people, but they paid no attention. Manasseh is generally considered the worst king that the nation of Judah ever had. And so the nation of Judah is just half of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. They couldn't get along with each other as a full nation, so they divided. And so Judah was half of that. And Manasseh was one of the kings of Judah. And what he did was incredibly terrible. A little bit unbelievable that God's people, God's chosen people, could become so evil. King Manasseh made lots of idols, worshipped lots of idols, brought them into the temple, which was supposed to be the holy place for God, and also sacrificed his own sons in fire to false gods and practiced witchcraft. And that's just a 10-verse summary that the Bible is able to give. I'm sure the list of his sins and wickedness were much more than that also. But one thing that is not mentioned here, but we can assume from the next chapter, is that it would seem that during the reign of Manasseh, they also lost the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God was back then, some of the writings of Moses and a couple other books, it would seem that they lost it. And the Bible doesn't say how this happened. They were supposed to have lots of copies of the Word of God. Every king was supposed to make his own personal copy. And so there had been lots of kings before Manasseh, but somehow they lost all the copies, or they never made any copies, and they lost the only one. But they completely lost the Bible. It wasn't the Bible back then, but they completely lost God's Word. And so you can see what their kingdom turned into as the influence of God's Word was completely removed from their society. There's a lot of things that I wish the Bible would tell us, but the Bible doesn't always tell us. So it doesn't say how the people lost the Word of God, but it looks like it wasn't an enemy invasion or something like that. So that would have been kind of what I would have thought. If the people were going to lose the Word of God, it would probably be because some enemy nation came and destroyed it or stole it from them. But it looks like they just slowly, over time, just stopped paying attention to it. And maybe at first they just kind of stopped letting it influence their lives. They didn't like what it said. They stopped reading it, and eventually they didn't even know where it was anymore. It was completely, completely lost. If you want to go to the next slide. They lost the Word of God, and it was especially important for them because for the nation of Israel and Judah, it wasn't just some nice sayings for their life. It was also very specific for their nation and how they were supposed to run their nation according to God's plan for them, because they were God's chosen people. And so for them to completely lose it is a little incredible. But I wonder sometimes if we can also have something similar happen in our lives. So it would be very difficult for us to lose the Word of God today, lose all the copies. There's millions of copies, and you can find it online, so that probably wouldn't happen. But to gradually let it stop influencing our lives until it really doesn't have any voice in our lives anymore. So you can go to the next one. If that were to happen in our lives, why does it really matter? There's a lot of people in the world who don't have the Word of God. They don't let it influence their lives, and their lives might seem fine. So does it really matter if the Word of God loses influence in our lives? And if so, why does it matter? And answering this question is important because there's a lot of people throughout history who have held the Word of God very highly and viewed it as very important, but maybe for the wrong reason. And that also has some dangerous consequences. So there's lots of famous stories about people who have gone to great lengths to protect God's Word at certain times. But my favorite, if you go to the next, is movie called The Book of Eli, starring Denzel Washington. So this is an American Hollywood movie. Has anyone seen this movie? A few of you. It's not a true story, but Denzel Washington is actually a devout Christian, which is interesting because most of the people in Hollywood are kind of not that way. but Denzel Washington, he's a very strong believer, actually, considered becoming a pastor. And so this movie, The Book of Eli, is a kind of a post-apocalyptic setting. The world has kind of been destroyed mostly, but there's only one copy of God's Word left, one copy of the Bible left, and Denzel Washington's character has to protect it. This isn't a movie that I would let your children watch. It's an extremely violent movie, so I don't know what is culturally acceptable in India in terms of violence in movies, but it's probably the most violent movie I've ever seen, because I don't usually watch violent movies, and it also has a lot of bad language. But in this movie, Denzel Washington's character views the Bible as very important, and there's lots of other people throughout history with true stories, where people have gone to great lengths to protect the Word of God, but not always for the right reason. And so people use the Word of God sometimes to manipulate others, or another thing that people do, if you go to next one. This is a question, when I was in Bible college, people used to ask us this to make fun of us, because they would say, do you worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Scriptures? That is not the proper Trinity. So if you worship the Holy Scriptures, you're doing something wrong. That's not, as Christians, we don't believe in worshiping the Word of God. Like, the Word of God is not God. It's a tool that God has given us. And so the actual Trinity, what God actually is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But a lot of people, no one would probably say that they worship the Bible unless maybe they have a misunderstanding. But I think a lot of people act like they worship God's Word, or they live like it. So they're not using it as a tool to know God better or to live better. They study it so much that it just becomes, they're learning the Word of God just so that they can know it better. And that's not very helpful, and it can actually be very harmful. If you see, like, the Pharisees in Jesus' time, they knew a lot about the Word of God, but they were studying it with the wrong motive, and they used some of God's words to really hurt people. And so, you can go to the next slide. If you're taking notes or something, this is kind of the main point of what I'm trying to say today. The influence of God's Word in your life is a key piece of knowing God and living out His purpose for your life. So, something I hope that jumps out to you there is that knowing God is what's most important. And so, there's a lot that goes into knowing God. When you first believe in Jesus, you receive eternal life and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And as you continue to walk with God, you get to know Him better and He blesses you. And if you do know God after you die, you know, you will spend eternity in paradise. And so through the journey of our lives, there's lots of things that go into us knowing God or knowing God better. But the Word of God is important because it helps us know God better. It's not just important just because somebody liked this book and thought it was interesting. These are God's words, and this is 66 books in the Bible. It's the only specific verbal instructions that we have from God, or specific words that describe things about God or how we're supposed to live our lives. And so I hope that you believe that your relationship with God is important. And I was using the word important a lot to describe knowing God and His Word, but that kind of made me feel like it was kind of an obligation. So the Word of God and knowing God is important, but it's also wonderful. So it's something that is actually really beneficial in your life. It's not just something that you should do because you have to. It's something that will be very helpful and very good in your life. And knowing God is awesome, and studying God's Word and knowing Him more through His Word is awesome. And the second part of that is living out His purpose for your life. God created the whole universe. He runs the whole universe, and He has written some things for you that He thinks might be helpful as you live your life. And a lot of us don't pay very much attention to those things, but it's incredible that the person who created the universe even cares about us in the first place, but he wants us to know how to live our lives well. And so He's given us a lot in His Word that will help us know Him better and to live our life in the best way possible. And so the Bible isn't the only piece of knowing God better. There are lots of other things. Prayer is important. Fellowship with other believers is important, but your life will be missing something if you don't have the influence of the Word of God in your life. And I don't believe that the Bible is the only way that God speaks to people. I think that God is always speaking to us through our circumstances, through things that may happen, things that we may see, but those things are difficult to interpret if we don't know the specific words that God said. So as you're going through your life and you're walking down the road and the wind blows and a puddle turns into the shape of a cross and you feel like you're supposed to go do something now, I mean, that can happen. I think that God speaks to us through feelings and through circumstances. But if you don't know what God's word says, you can take those circumstances and you can think that God's asking you to do something that He never wanted you to do, or that God hates, or maybe Satan caused the wind to blow and you're pointing in a completely different direction. So it's important to pay attention in our lives and see how God is speaking to us through everything, but also to know the Word of God so that we can interpret the things that happen in our lives and stay in line with what His will is for us. You can go to the next. This is a picture of my family, okay? We got to visit them for Christmas this year, so this was our family photo at Christmas. It's a little difficult to see, but this here is my grandpa. His name is Donald Hart, and then my grandma, Rosemary Hart, okay? And so my family, they look nice. Your family probably looks nice too, but, my family is weird. And, so something about my family is, my grandpa does not like the internet at all. Like, he thinks that somehow it's going to take over the world, or that people who use the internet, everyone's spying on them. So, I mean, there might be a little bit of truth to that, but he will not use the internet at all, and he will not allow my grandmother to use the internet either, okay? So as I tell you this about my family, think about it in a symbolic way, and I will explain it in a moment, but my grandma would like the influence of the internet in her life. My grandparents moved far away, so they don't live close to anyone else in my family. It would be nice for her if she could send emails and video chat with her family, but my grandpa will not allow it. And for my grandma, you know, she would like it, but it's not really a big deal for her. It hasn't become enough of a priority for her to really take a stand, or I don't know if she would even want to, or how that works with them, but she hasn't made it enough of a priority to let the internet influence her life, mostly because my grandpa is so against it. But for her, she also hasn't made much of an effort either. And so if you think about that and use that as kind of a symbol or a metaphor for your life, and instead of the internet, think about the Word of God and the influence of the Word of God in your life. And I think all of you, you have a little bit of my grandpa and a little bit of my grandma in you. And that means that there's a part of you that would probably like the influence of the Word of God. There's part of you that probably thinks it's nice. If you're a believer in Jesus, sometimes you probably think about reading the Bible, or you might think it would be nice, but then there's another part of you that is maybe too busy or distracted, or maybe you don't like what the Word of God says sometimes, and that will always be true because we are sinful. The Bible is perfect and we are not, so it is going to make us uncomfortable sometimes. So there might be a part of you that doesn't like what it says, or there might be a part of you that like you've tried to read the Bible before a little bit and it was difficult to understand, so you just kind of gave up. I think all of us have a little piece of us that would like the Word of God to influence us more, and a little piece of us that would not like that. And so my encouragement to you is to know that that's normal and that's true for everyone. Everyone's busy, or everyone sometimes doesn't really want to read their Bible. But to allow the part of you that wants the Word of God in your life to win because you want it. Not just because somebody told you that you have to, but because you have made a decision that your relationship with God is important, and you're excited about that, and you know that knowing God's word is going to help you be closer to God, and that's going to be beneficial in your life now and for all of eternity. So that's my encouragement to you. Can go one more slide. So I think a lot of us would agree that we want the word of God to influence our life, and that's important, but sometimes it's difficult to know how to really make that happen in a deep way that actually affects our life. So there are lots of ways to allow the word of God to influence your life. Coming to church is good. Listening to preaching is good. There are preachers you can listen to on YouTube. You can read books about the Bible. You can listen to Christian music that has God's word and the values from God's word in the music. Those are all good. My suggestion for you, as you seek to allow the word of God to influence your life, is to read or listen to it every day. And so this is not something that the Bible says is a requirement, but with the access that we have these days to the Bible, I think almost everybody probably has a Bible, and if you don't, it would be really easy to get one. So you could talk to pastor, we could get you one. And if you don't have a paper Bible, a lot of us have the Bible on our phone. So the Word of God is more accessible today than it ever has been. And so we really have the opportunity to read it every day. That was not always true. Even, 1,000 years ago, not everybody had the Word of God. You might have had to go to a special place or, go listen to the priest or something like that. But these days, everybody has access to the Word of God, and everybody pretty much has access to it every day. And so since you have that opportunity and you have that privilege, I would encourage you to take advantage of it. And I don't think it's important to read large amounts of the Bible every day. So some people get discouraged maybe because they start a Bible reading plan and then they get behind and then they just kind of give up altogether. That might be discouraging. But even if you just read one verse every day, that's a good start. And, maybe a little more would be more helpful. So 5 verses or a whole chapter or something. But as long as you make the commitment to at least read or listen to a small portion of it every day, it will gradually influence your life, probably. And you will probably learn to love it more if you stick with that commitment and don't give up. And then you might start reading larger portions as you move forward. But my second suggestion for you is to really seek to understand it and apply it. So there are lots of Bible study methods and helpful things to help you understand and apply God's word. My recommendation today is to use a commentary. So commentary is just one tool. What a commentary is along with all of God's words in the Bible, a lot of people have studied them very thoroughly, experts, and they have wrote notes to go along with it to help you understand what it means, because a lot of the portions of the Bible are really confusing, and to help you apply it to your life, because sometimes it's difficult to kind of connect the dots. Even if you understand what it's saying, how does that really affect your life or apply it to your life? So you have to be careful when you're looking at study notes like this, because the study notes are not God's word. They are not perfect, and so sometimes the people who write notes about the Word of God, they might be incorrect, or there might be different views on certain passages, but I think it's still very helpful to read the Bible, and then along with that, to consider what an expert might think about it. And You don't have to agree with that expert. All the experts don't even agree with each other, but it's helpful to consider what they might have to say. And so when I was 15 years old, I told my parents, all I want for Christmas is an NIV study Bible. Okay? And so back then, it was big and expensive, and so it was a big deal for me. And so they got me one, and it was the whole Bible with lots of study notes. And as I started reading that, it really transformed my life to read God's words, but then also to have some help understanding it. These days, it's a lot easier, even than when I was younger. So there's a lot of free resources on the internet. So I just put one example for English up there, enduringword.com/Bible-commentary. So this is one guy who has written a lot of good study notes about the Bible, and I found his commentaries helpful as I've studied the Bible a little bit. If Hindi is a better language for you, I've also, or if you're wanting to teach in Hindi, I used dustysandals.com a little bit, and the full link is a little bit strange, but if you write that down, they have a Bible app written in a translation that's very easy to understand. All of the New Testament, they have audio recordings for it in Hindi, and they have Hindi study notes. So that was really helpful for me as I was practicing my Hindi and trying to use God's word in Hindi. And so if you use the Bible in Hindi, that's a good resource. So read or listen to God's word every day. Seek to understand and apply it, and then also live out what you learn. Understanding it isn't enough. Even applying it, if you just draw the connection and say, this is how this could affect my life, it's not really helpful unless you really live it out. The Bible is not intended just to be information or nice things to know. It's really meant to help you live better. So as you read the Bible and understand it, apply it, if you actually live it out, that's what will really change your life and transform your life. One way to not let the Word of God influence your life, one thing that is not helpful, is to just expect other people to bring this into your life. So I think this happens a lot in Christian families, or you are coming to church and you just assume that maybe the people around you are going to influence your life with the Word of God. And that can be dangerous because one day you're going to have to stand before God yourself and give an account for how you lived your life. And sometimes the Christians around you will not have the right views on things. And if you stand before God and you say, well, I just did this because that's what pastor said, or that's what my mom said, God will probably say, why didn't you read my words for yourself? Like, I wrote those words for you, and you didn't have to just take your mom's word for it. You could have actually read what God said and really lived it out in your life. Another reason I think this is important is because coming to church once a week and hearing a sermon, it isn't enough to really let God's word influence your life. When you hear a sermon, probably this sermon too, on Monday or Tuesday, you probably won't really be thinking about it. You will have moved on with your life, which is normal, but that's why it's important to be reading God's word every day, so that it's not just once a week you kind of notice God's word and then on Monday you kind of go back to the rest of your life. That's not what a relationship with Jesus is supposed to be, and that's not what the Word of God is supposed to be in our life. Can go to the next one. Okay, we will look a little bit at the rest of the story. So back in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, I'm going to summarize. But after verse 10, something crazy is King Manasseh actually repents. So There's another place in the Bible where they have this story in 2 Kings. And if you look there, the Bible doesn't tell us that Manasseh repented. But in 2 Chronicles, the most wicked king that Judah ever had repents. And he prays to God and he changes his life and God forgives him, which is crazy. And it's encouraging because all of us probably know people who are far from God. And I think Manasseh here was probably about as far from God as anybody could be. But he was still able to repent and God forgave him. And so anybody in your life that you are praying for, that you think might never know God or might never know Jesus, there's hope for them. There's hope for everyone, and God can change anyone's heart. So Manasseh repents. He brings a lot of revival back into the nation of Israel in his older years. But there are still some consequences of his many years of wickedness. And one of those consequences, starting in verse 21, is his son Amon chooses to be very wicked, like his father Manasseh was when Manasseh was younger. And so Amon becomes king, and he is very wicked and evil, and he only rules for 2 years, and then he dies. And then Manasseh's grandson Josiah becomes king. And Josiah becomes king when he is only 8 years old. And so that means that his grandfather, Manasseh, died when Josiah was 6, because Amon only ruled for 2 years. So when Josiah was 6 years old, his grandfather, Manasseh, died. And I kind of wondered if little 6-year-old Josiah or 5-year-old Josiah, how much he was influenced by his grandfather's repentance and revival. The Bible doesn't tell us, but the Bible does tell us that Josiah was an excellent king, one of the best kings that the nation of Judah ever had. And Josiah becomes king when he's only 8 years old. He seeks the Lord with his whole heart, and eventually, during his reign, they find the word of God. And so we don't have time to look at the whole story of Josiah, but I encourage you to read it when you have time, because it's very interesting how discovering the Word of God changes an entire generation for them, and that is done under the leadership of King Josiah, but it has really big implications for their country in a really good way. You can go to the next slide. One thing that's very important is to influence your own life with the Word of God. But the core value for our church is Bible-centered community. And so that means that as a group, we also influence each other with the Word of God. And so that honestly is a little bit more difficult. If you go to the next slide, I have some suggestions for that also. And understanding and living out the Word of God for yourself is difficult enough, but influencing others can be difficult, but it's very, very helpful, especially if you're a parent. You probably want to influence your children with the Word of God. But for all of us, it would be beneficial for our community, for all of us, if, you know, one person is influenced by the Word of God and then they influence others. And it's kind of a cycle where we're all helping each other know God's Word better and know God better. And so these are just my suggestions for that as you maybe seek to influence others with the Word of God. The first is you have to value it for yourself. So there are people who do not value God's Word, but they try to force it on other people. And that's not helpful. It's very hypocritical. So the first thing is make sure that you value the Word of God and you are actually living it out. The second thing that's important is to understand people. So even if you know the Word of God and you're living it out, sometimes when you try to influence someone else with it, you might do it in the wrong way that's either offensive to them or they don't understand. Just because you didn't understand who they were as a person and you didn't understand how they were going to receive what you have to say. And so, again, with parents, you know, as you try to teach your kids the Word of God, your kids might be accepting at times. They might not be. And that's, I don't know how to navigate that exactly, but if you just keep telling Bible verses to your kids all day or to anyone all day without trying to understand them as a person, it's probably just going to make them more upset and drive them away from God. But if you really understand them, if you understand what's important to them, and you understand how to share the Word of God with them in a way that will actually mean something to them, it can be powerful and important. Third one is be creative. I think Christians generally are pretty bad at being creative. And so the Word of God, it doesn't change, you know. So there might be new translations, but the actual message of what God is trying to tell us will never change. But the way that we communicate it should change. And we should be creative. We should be interesting. We should try to do things in ways that are interesting to people and helpful. And so, you know, when we're preaching, we try to do that. But, you know, as parents or as friends, if you've tried sharing the Word of God with someone in a certain way and it hasn't worked very well, maybe you can try a different way. And like, there's music and there's movies and there's ways of saying things nicely or creatively. And that's just something to consider. Like, how are you communicating the Word of God? And then fourth is practice. It's not easy to influence others with the Word of God, but just because you've tried and nobody listens to you, don't give up, you know. Try a different way next time. And it is really powerful. No matter where you are, if you can influence people with the Word of God. Okay. If you want to turn, I will just read this passage. We won't talk about it. But back to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, back in chapter 3, and I'm just going to read verses 10 through 17 to give a little more of the context of the verse that we looked at the beginning. And it's the Apostle Paul writing to his closest disciple, Timothy. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.